You'll be good. You'll be good. Look out. You'll
get in the zone. I got to get in my zone.
You'll be good. No, please don't. Stay out of the zone. Would you introduce yourself? We're on now. Can you tell the difference? Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is King Tough. Hello.
So we got the Brattleboro, right? We've got the parents' house. We've got no guitar lessons. We've got all that stuff, right? That's well read.
It's been said.
These records, to me, when I put them on, endless smiles in these records, because you're not purposely lampooning anything. You're not really purposely going down any other road but making really fun to listen to songs that are well crafted but have a sound.
I'm focused on writing good songs, or what I think to be good songs, and songs that I myself would want to hear.
And we know what a great song is, right?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways to have a great song, but I think that it is sort of a lost art, sort of. I don't, or at least people don't really focus on the songs anymore. It's more about a sound, having a sound, or something you can dance to, as opposed to telling a story with a song. Something like
that. Or both. How about you tell a story and you have a sound? So when people put on a King Tough record, they go, "That's a King Tough record." We used to grow up with things like that. You knew, you know, and it wasn't that everything had to sound the same. It's not that artists didn't advance, but there were certain commonalities, right?
Yeah, I think that there was just more personality back in the day. There was more personality showing through, and you could hear, I don't know, I'm just into stuff that sounds genuinely like the person that's making it.
Let's talk a few things. You're stuck with this producer guy. There's a Jake and, you know, the Gary guy and a Ty appeared too, didn't he?
Ty Siegel played drums on one song. Yes, he did.
Yeah. You wrote a lot of great stuff here that appeared on the one sheet. You realize that the one sheet is yours. I want you to read what's circled to me. I want to hear it in your voice, because I thought this was so much fun. This was my favorite thing.
Punks, squares, skaters, farmers, bartenders, grandparents, stoners, carpenters, hobos, heshers, babes, babies, plumbers, strippers, art teachers, teenagers, townies, moms, dads, truck drivers, and witches will all love this record.
So who have you left out? No, here's the big question. Have you discovered, since you wrote that, some other people that will love this record?
I think I covered it all.
Did you cover it all? You haven't discovered anything else in all this?
Radio DJs? I didn't have them on there.
Yeah, no. Oh, my. Wait a minute. Boy, did you F up. It's a one sheet.
I effed up.
You've effed up, man.
I just assumed they would like it, too.
Okay, and I love this. This is one of those that you have to do in the full throttle. So you're offering people a rock and roll sexperience.
Sex.
I like a rock and roll sexperience, because when you really think about it, if you're not offering people a rock and roll sexperience, how can it be rock and roll?
I think it's one and the same.
Isn't it, though?
I believe so.
But it's not the same David Lee Roth rock and roll sexperience.
No, but, you know, he's in there a little bit. There's some pterodactyl screams here and there, like David Lee Roth style.
Let's talk nebulizers. See, I have asthma.
Now, this is something I can talk about.
Well, because, you see, I have minor asthma, too. I don't have, like, I don't go into fits and stuff.
Yeah.
But I start coughing if I don't have the... And being in the businesses we're in, where we're using our voices... Kind of weird stuff, right? But it doesn't affect your output in any way, shape, or form, does it?
Well, you know, I do get a little asthmatic on stage sometimes if I'm out of practice, and I gotta take a hit of the old albuterol here and there in between songs, but I usually just make a joke out of it.
And the audience must be like, dude, this guy does the best drugs.
Man, I got that high-grade albuterols. You know, it's good stuff.
Okay, now this is something that is either an urban myth or it's true. Is it true that producer mixer really wouldn't let you be in there when they mixed this record? Is that a true story?
That is very true.
So they threw your ass out.
Yes. But I had already gone through that once with him with the self-titled record.
Right.
Where
right,
he,
which is why I brought it up. Yeah.
Yes, he had mixed that. You know, we recorded that in Detroit, and I went home to Vermont, and he mixed that himself, sent it to me, you know, back and forth. But this time was really extreme, where him and his friend, our friend, who's a cartoonist, doesn't know anything about making records. They locked themselves up in the studio and wouldn't let me come over, and they basically delivered me the album, track order, sequence, and everything.
And did you accept it spot on?
No.
See, and this is where I was going with this. So it's fascinating that you were willing to let them have their way. However, I suspected that you didn't just go, dude, press it.
Well, what happened was they gave it to me and I was unsure about a couple things, and we spent a few months talking about what we should change, and then eventually I went back to the original thing that they had done. So it is.
Wow, now that's impressive.
What you hear is exactly what they did.
But that's impressive, and that says a lot about your process. Right?
Well, working with a producer, it's like it's really hard because you got to give up so much control. And being someone who always recorded themselves and did everything themselves in the past, it's really hard to do that. But, you know, you just got to have trust and faith. And as I've said before, only work with maniacs.
That's a polite way of saying you got to trust these people.
Yeah, and they got to have good ideas. And they got to be somebody that you trust their work and somebody who you enjoy their work.
And the ability to make something that makes as much noise as this and is as melodic and sounds good. That's a rare combination, you know?
Well, you know, it's we've been doing it for a long time now, so it's just, you know, over the years you get better at your craft and it develops and you learn what you like and don't like.
But now, speaking of doing it for a long time, that staircase diamond thing got a little refresh, didn't it?
Yeah, that was actually Magical Jake's idea. He brought up that song as other, you know, fans would bring that song up at shows, and I'd be like, "Are you crazy?" Because that's, you know, that song's like from maybe 2001 or two, and I would be like, "That I don't know about that song." But then we tried it, and it turned into something completely different, and I liked it.
So we have a little local, this is the People Magazine moment. Ready? We have a little local angle in a Garbus.
Well, the Garbus sisters are magical beings, and I've known them since I was pretty young. I first met Meryl when I was probably about 18, and she lived in Brattleboro as well, and worked at the coffee shop before she ever really did music. She was doing puppetry and stuff like that. But she was always an amazing performer, and she just gets more amazing every time I see her.
And what about the other Garbus?
Her sister is the secret weapon, Ruth Garbus, who is one of my best friends of all time. And she is also an amazing songwriter and musician, but she's a little bit more under the radar. But she is, you know, check her out.
Which of the songs on this record can we turn into a comic or a cartoon series? What do you think?
I think Demon from Hell is a pretty good cartoon.
Yeah, so have you thought it through? No, you're a fan, so have you thought, you know, if this recording thing doesn't work out, this is the next best thing to being there.
Well, yeah, that's sort of about a little superhero guy who's like a normal kid, and then, you know, Satan comes and turns him into a rock and roll madman, and that would be a pretty good cartoon, I think.
That happens every day, doesn't it? That's pretty much the normal thing. Sub Pop, you couldn't have a better place to hang, could you?
Every time I go up to that office, I just want to hang out there. They got a nap room. They got a vending machine with beers in it.
So, this is kind of an interesting thing that you said, which is, you know, L.A., right? And particularly East L.A. You know, L.A. is an odd place for you. It's a place to make home. But I love the quote. You said something about the fact that when you're driving around and you're traversing L.A., you're driving it in a 15-passenger van.
That's true.
That's fascinating.
Probably the worst.
It's the parking on Melrose really crappy, doesn't it?
Not so fun. And they say, you know, in LA, you are what you drive. I guess I'm a big old van, but you know, you gotta own it. I like that I'm bigger than everyone on the road.
When you go, being that you are a Vermontian, right, and you're American to the core, when you go over to Europe, do people try to figure this out, or do they just kind of go for it and it's all good by them?
Well, I gotta say the best thing that ever happened to me in Europe was actually on a witch tour, and I was doing an interview in France, and the interviewer said, "Now, witch, this is comedy music, right?"
That's what I'm talking about. But do people try to genre-fy this? Oh, it's garage rock meets. And you're like, no.
I mean, I'm not even thinking in those terms when I make it. I accept that that's what I'm going to get labeled as, but I never am like, I'm going to make a garage rock.
You don't make it, but then you didn't make, but you see, this is the thing, is 82% of all garage rock isn't made in a garage anymore. It's either made in the box or it's made in a studio.
It's just something for people to, I guess, put it in some sort of form of reference, but I don't know. I don't see it that way. I just see it as, you know, music, I guess.
So that video that was just recently released, man, there's a lot of you in there. There's a lot of spinning. How much did you actually have to do? And because there's a lot of you. You could have gotten dizzy, man, like in a big way.
We were getting dizzy. It was on a giant rotating platform that we filmed it, and we had to do a bunch.
So it was practical.
It was very practical.
Wow.
Yeah, we were on that rotating platform all day long.
So I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is, speaking of sandwiches, sorry, speaking of salads, and it's two of your songs on the outside is the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.